Hi, I'm Morgan.
I'm Odette.
And I'm Madeline.
And we love Christian fiction.
We love it so much that we wanted to talk about it on a podcast.
Each episode, we will read classics of the genre or new releases.
And discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly. So come join us.
Hello, listeners. We are back with another author interview. Welcome, welcome.
Hooray.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's
yes. And tonight, or today, I should say, because people won't just be listening to this at night, we have Laura Conaway here to talk about her book coming out in middle of September 2023, Expired Vows. So really excited to talk to you and dive in and discuss the book.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is fabulous. Okay, so we're going to start off kind of with our first group of questions being writing questions. So we wanted to kind of know, what inspires your characters and your stories? Or in this case, story, if this is your debut novel.
Yeah. So I feel like this debut novel is kind of unique in its own way. So I got to work with Lisa Phillips, who is another romantic suspense author. And so she kind of mentored me through this process. And so I have my own characters that I wrote, but the story world itself was hers. And so it was fun to like combine the two and take like, oh, like here are my original ideas and here are things that she's already established. And so I feel like inspiring my characters is just like everyday life. I mean, I am very much of a people observer. And so I will just casually be sitting somewhere out for coffee or a smoothie. And I just observe everything happening around me. And I'm like, oh, this would be interesting to put in a story, or this quirk or this person's personality would be fun to play around with. So I feel like that's kind of, it just comes in waves.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So inspiration can kind of be all around you.
Love it.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So which characters, should I guess which characters you wrote, or can you tell us which ones were your characters that you wrote in kind of this book?
Yeah. So I wrote Trace and Kelsey. So the hero. And heroine. Yes. Yes. And then all of the side characters, there were other authors who wrote books. There are three books ahead of it in the series. So they wrote those characters, and then Lisa had a bunch of secondary characters that were in her original 10-book series of Last Chance County that she wrote. So that's just the police officers, just normal people in the town that you'll see here and there.
That is so cool.
That's awesome. So, okay. So when you say, you said she mentored you through the process, first of all, so we have these in our questions, but I'm throwing them in. So how did you get connected with her to be like, did she put out a search for, hey, do people want to write in this series? Did you reach out to her directly? Like, hey, would you be interested in someone else writing in the series? How did that, that union come about?
Yeah, that's a great question. It honestly was such a God story. So she did. She put out a search and said, hey, I'm working with Sunrise Publishing. I'm looking for authors who are interested in writing romantic suspense. And we'd love for you to submit your work to us, share about your own writing journey. And so I did. I submitted. And she read the stuff. This was a completely blind audition. So she had no idea who was submitting any kind of their backstory. It was purely just on how well can you write? Is the story premise something that we think would work for her story world that she's already created? And so then she gave me a call and was like, hey, can we jump on Zoom? I have a couple questions for you. And she's like, I'd love to work with you. And I was like, okay, of course. Like, this would be awesome.
That's so cool.
That is amazing.
And so you said she mentored you through the process. It was how you said it. So was it a true co-writing endeavor, or was it really more you were writing it, she was just like, hey, this is the world, maybe judge this, like that kind of thing?
Yeah, I feel like definitely more of the latter. So we had a retreat with our publishing director, the wonderful Susie Mae Warren. And so she went through and kind of helped us plot out the entire book. So we came with our idea. We came with our characters and said, hey, this is what we want to do for the story. Help us flesh it out. And so they basically kind of got down to the nitty gritty and helped us plan out like chapter by chapter. And then from there, I wrote the story, sent it off to Lisa and Susie. They read it and said, this is great. Here's some things that we want to change or some things that we think would make it stronger. And so based on those suggestions, I went back and fixed things. So I feel like it was a both efforts sure. combined in that, but it really was more of this, hey, I'm going to let you write because yeah. you have a strong voice. You know how to do this. And I'm going to just coach you along the way.
And honestly, at least in my opinion, that would be like an ideal situation for yeah. me. Like, you know what I mean? Like you have this world set up. So there's a little bit of a safety there and you have yeah. these greats who have all of this experience who are willing to help you and just kind of shift direction a little bit. But then you also get so much creative freedom with the actual nitty gritty of the story, which I think is fabulous. Like what like you said, a great God situation, like it's set up perfectly. And then now your name's out there and you have an automatic cool. following. great for you. And you're just going to skyrocket from here, which is awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. It's amazing. It's been so fun.
That is fabulous. So how did you get your start as a writer? Did you always want to be a writer or tell us about that?
Yeah, another great question. I have loved writing ever since I was little. I was always creating stories, whether that was I'd have a little journal and I'd be writing different ideas down. Some of my friends and I would even write screenplays and then we would act things out and realize, okay, acting is not my forte, so we're going to stick with the writing. and then when I went to college, I got a minor in professional writing. And in one of my classes, we actually had to write a novel. So we had to plan out like the entire book. We had to write the first like so many chapters. And then we had our critique partners, our peers in the class kind of talk with us through the story. And that was during COVID. And so I was like, why not just finish this book? So I finished it and was like, this is a lot of fun. I like this. And so that's just been doing it ever since.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that. And I feel like it's a way to take something that like a passion when you realize like, oh no, this was actually more fun than what I realized it was even going to be. So like, why not run with it? Which is always, I feel like a good way to jump into something.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So is the book that you wrote Expired Vows or is this a new book that you've written since your college class?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, so the book that I wrote originally has not been published. I don't think it actually ever will be. It was more of a, this is for me, like, I know that I can do this, I can write, and I've grown very much as a writer, and if I look back on that, I'm like, oh yeah, there are things that I would need to make or change.
That's fair enough, especially when you're just seeing if you even like it. It's a way different mindset than like, oh no, I'm actually working with an incredible author and writing this story, you know, it's just like a different mindset. So
absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then I think I'm going to move on to some book specific questions, if that's okay with you, Madeline and Morgan. So I know you talked about kind of Lisa had developed this world of these other books, but how is it coming in and writing kind of the finale in a way of this book, you know, being that you're a new writer and you're coming into this world that is clearly well defined? This was the first book that I've read in the series, but I was like, you could tell it was part of a really well thought out and meticulous series. So curious how that experience went for you.
Yeah, it was very interesting to say the least. It was a lot of fun, but it was also challenging at times because there were already so many nuances that were set in stone. So I was like, okay, how do I do these characters that are already created justice? How do I carry on what Lisa has created and do that well for her readership and those who have loved Last Chance County? And so it really was a collaboration with the other authors. And we had a big story Bible, we call it. So it's basically just a big Excel spreadsheet. And we would put in, okay, here's our characters' descriptions. Here's how they talk, how they respond, their personalities. And so that really helped when I was writing the story. And then also just the timeline of, okay, from book one to book four, you know, where are these characters at? Where are they romance wise? Where are they career wise? And then making sure that all fit together for the last book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the story Bible is super helpful because you could like in a moment be like, wait, would this character actually do that? And you could actually like flesh out kind of what it is. I've heard that they do a similar thing for TV shows. They call them like show Bibles, where it's like basically the like, hey, if we're going to have series and series, so like what writers can reference, like, would this character actually do that? Because they may have written something seasons before that would have, you know, caused, you know, that to not be the case or whatever. So.
Exactly. Yes. And I think it really just helps the editors in the process too, because they can be like, oh, you said this in chapter one, and now you're saying completely opposite in chapter 10. And we need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So another question I had, these book questions are all for me. So,
well, because she read the book all the way through.
I just love that we get to talk to authors about their stories, because it's endlessly fascinating to me. Okay. So the question I had, this book heavily focuses on the romance between a widower and his wife's former best friend. So can you talk us through that? Because I feel like there's definitely moments where you're like, okay, like you want it, but then you're like, ooh, do I, you know, and just in your own personal experience, you know, because sometimes I feel like I tend to then think about, well, how would I feel about, you know, that kind of situation. So curious, kind of that part of the story and what kind of led you to that type of romance for this book.
Yeah, that was honestly the exact tension that I felt personally as I was writing this. I was like, oh, am I cheering for them? Like, do I want this to happen? Do I not want this? Which is probably not the best as the author, because I'm like, yes, like they're supposed to be together. This is great.
Yeah.
So I think I took some of my own just like college experience, since I was just recently graduated, and like took that concept and that idea of, man, like what would happen if years had gone by and, you know, something happened in life and they're reunited, like, would they even want like this, like, would they be interested? Would they even want this kind of a love after everything that has happened? And it's actually interesting. I was on a podcast last week and we were actually talking about a real life story where this other author knew a couple that ended up getting married after their previous spouses passed away, but they were like all best friends, like the four of them were best friends. And then when the two other passed away, they're like, well, might as well like just continue this. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, okay, I guess it happens in real life, but
yeah. Cause it's like the tension of like, and they even, and maybe that's why it felt so authentic in the book, because you yourself were like wrestling with it. Cause it felt like they were like, ooh, is this a bad idea? I don't know. Is this dishonoring my wife's memory? Is this dishonoring my best friend, my old best friend, you know? And it's like that tension of like what I think you'd actually go through if you were trying to decide to be with someone who your best friend was married to. Like, that's just a crazy situation, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was rooting for them in the end. So. okay, so the next question I had, so Kelsey's struggle, Kelsey, the main female in this story, the main heroine, if you will, so she's so willing to help others, but really struggles with kind of that failing to ask for help and wanting to receive help. And I really resonated with that. I don't know if you know anything about the Enneagram, but I'm an Enneagram too, and helping people, it gives me life almost more than anything else. And so there's times where I don't even, it's like innate to me. And so, but then asking for help always feels like a burden. So I feel like you did a really good job. So I'm curious kind of what made you, you know, cause obviously she's a social worker and a therapist. There's parts of that that you could kind of see playing a role in that kind of job, because that's like very innate, and that kind of level of empathy is huge in that career. So just curious kind of how you went about that and why you decided to include that in kind of her story.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad that just like encouraged you and you were able to resonate with that. Yeah, I think it really was just wrestling through, okay, what is her personality? I definitely used the Enneagram for her character and was like, okay, how do I use these details and all of that? I honestly actually took this from personal experience with some things that have happened in my own life, and just wrestling with what does that look like to want to help and to serve others, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we're believers and we understand that like we're called to love and to serve people like Jesus have, what does it look like to do that, but also to be willing to receive and ask for help as well? Because we need that community. We need people who are going to come along with us and encourage us and do life with us. And so I feel like just from personal experience, I was able to kind of weave that in and understand from that empathetic point of view of, man, like, what is she wrestling with? Why is she struggling so much with opening up even just from how people responded in her past, I think really played a role in why she had a harder time opening up until she saw that people genuinely were trustworthy and wanted to take care of her.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really powerful because you could tell by the end of the book, and I'm not spoiling this, there's just a reality to her own growth as a character that she realized, yes, I can help others, but it doesn't make me less human or less helpful to others if I need help myself. And that, I feel like we all have to learn that lesson at different times in our lives. Like, it's okay, you know, because we like to be independent and think that we can do things on our own. And then the whole God factor in that too. So I thought that was a really interesting kind of caveat of her character development.
Yeah, for
sure. Okay, so those are all the book questions I had. I could go on for a while, but I was concerned that my questions would be spoilers, and I don't want to spoil it because I feel like the plot thickens in a really good way, and so I want people to be able to experience that on their own. Morgan, do you have any book questions?
No, I added mine to this thing, the book question that I specifically had, because I started it, but my week has been crazy, so I have not been able to finish it yet. But
totally understandable.
I'm excited to keep going, especially after this conversation. But my big book question was the thing about the co-authoring, which we had talked about before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, cool. But we can move on to some faith questions.
That's right.
Makes sense as a transition.
That's right.
So, Laura, how has your own faith journey inspired your writing and your characters? Specifically, this book, Odette must have added this one.
This
a reliance on God and not your own strength, which is a lesson that we can all learn over and over. Can you talk a little bit about how you developed that in the story? So, I don't know. That's one question.
So many questions. I love it. It's great. Yeah, I feel like faith just plays a huge role for me, just personally. What the Lord has done in my own life and in my own walk with him. And I've wanted to just encourage others in that as well. And like, there's so many books, there's so many resources, so much information that we're inundated with nowadays. And I'm just so excited to be able to share just inspiration and hope in the books that I write, and for people to be able to see that there's something greater and purposeful in life that's worth chasing after. And so I feel like that, just from personal experience and just seeing what the Lord has done and how he's just encouraged me, is I want to do that for other people as well and point them to the one who ultimately fulfills and satisfies. And so that just excites me with just any story that I write. So specifically with Expired Vows and just the trusting and learning to let go and surrender and allow God to work. I feel like that's something, and you said it well, is we're constantly learning that in different seasons of life. And so I really was able to look back personally again and to see, man, like, how has God sustained me? How has he carried me through good times and bad times? And how have I learned in those moments to lift up my hands, you know, and as Jesus prayed, like, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And so I feel like that was what these characters had to walk through. It was like, all right, like, I've gone through really difficult things in life, and it's not what I planned, it's not what I had hoped for, but somehow, like, God is still sovereign and he is still good in this. And yeah, I feel like overall it was like, all right, how can I take even just experiences I've heard from other people and the suffering that they've endured, what they've learned through it, combining that with my own personal experience, and then kind of sharing that as the character's journey throughout the book.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's really awesome.
Yeah. And I feel like it came out, and again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I feel like by the end, I feel like you see how the reliance on not only community, but on God is so prevalent in characters' lives that, like, hey, they realize they can't function without God. There is also the tension. You have one character who's relying on God in ways, and then you have another character who's basically been like, nope, God, you failed me, and, you know, you're going to fail me again. But, like, the idea of, like, he actually hasn't, and that tension that we feel when it seems like all hope is gone, but the truth is that that's not the case. And there is hope, and that God's, you know, faithfulness will prevail throughout your life. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it is, it's like scripture talks about, like, his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not ours. And so to, like, reconcile and wrestle with that, all right, this is not how I expected things to turn out, but I need to trust you because you're somehow working it for my good, in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So this is a PSA, read the book.
I'm like, I just, that's all I want to do right now. Is and also, this is not on our questions, but I saw that you have a Love Inspired coming soon, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us? I know Morgan and I are like, we have to read this book, but can you tell us anything about this, the next book that's coming?
Yeah, I can share a little bit. I'd be happy to. First off, this is just another like total God story. This was also through another author search, and I submitted to this. And out of like hundreds of applicants, they were like, we like your story. We want to contract you. And I was like, all right, Lord, like clearly you want me to write and you're opening new doors. So it's amazing. But yeah, so Silencing the Witness comes out in January of 24. And this is going to journey with Seth Brown and Avery Sanford. And Avery is in the Witness Protection Program because she saw something that she wasn't supposed to, and her identity has now been exposed. And Seth is the school security officer. Avery is a school teacher. And when her identity is exposed, and the bad guys start coming after her, he has to figure out if he wants to protect her. But they have a past situation that makes him not want to, because he feels like he is to blame for what happened in her past. And so they really have to wrestle and reconcile with what they're going to do with that.
That sounds You're adding that to your roster in season 3. It's decided. It's happening.
PPR for sure.
I'm like, oh my gosh, not so huge fan of category romance in general, and of course especially Love Inspired Suspense. So I was excited about it anyways, but now I'm like extra excited about it.
That's very exciting.
Wow.
And some more. Now we have our that was a fun question, but we have more fun questions. We have our fun question category now. Fun question. Okay, so if you could have dinner with any fictional character or characters, who would it be? But it can't be one of your own characters.
This is a great question, but I feel like it's so hard to narrow down. It's like, out of all of the amazing books in this world, like, how do you pick just one character? I feel like the first one that comes to my mind is Bailey Flanagan from Karen Kingsbury's Baxter family series. And he inspired my own writing journey. And I really resonated with her character growing up as I was just reading those four books. And she just seems like just such a sweet, like fun person to be around. So I feel like it'd be super fun to just like have dinner with her and just get to know her life. And I mean, it's also based off of her real daughter. So that's also fun. So I can like low-key sort of see it in real life.
That's amazing.
That's so fun. And we've not had anyone on the podcast yet mention a Karen Kingsbury book, actually. So really? You're the first.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Yes. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. I used to read all of her books, and now I'm like, wow, I feel like I need to rekindle that. Like, I forgot how much I read all of her books years ago when I was
Karen Kingsbury's revival, anyone?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Maybe
Karen Kingsbury revival.
Yeah,
they know. Let's do it. To some people, there may be no need for a revival. They're still feeling.
They're like, they never stopped.
They never stopped. Okay. So next question. Who's your top celebrity crush right now?
Ooh. Okay. Well, I feel like I have to say, I just went to go see the newest Mission Impossible a couple weeks ago, and Tom Cruise is still crushing it at like what? He's like 50 or 60 now.
Yeah.
For sure. Like low-key in love with Ethan Hunt, so I feel like that just translates well into Tom Cruise is just awesome.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like he's getting more attractive the older he gets.
He's 61.
61.
61?
6-1.
6-1.
Crazy. He's doing his own stunt still, and just the suspense and intrigue that he puts into these movies. I'm like, let's go. Like,
that's very impressive. True.
Yeah. He also gets less annoying, I feel like, in characters, the older he gets, that you're like, oh yeah, there's actually a likability. Like, some of his characters when he was younger, he was just so cocky that you were like, eye roll.
Well,
you
know, but he played that very specific character.
I never thought that I thought that's how he is. And then when you see him in other movies, you're like, all right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I did have this is like a random aside. I worked at a movie theater a long time ago. And one of the people that I worked at the movie theater with was like really trying to break into acting himself. And so he would regularly go and be like, or like sign up to be like an extra on a movie or do like stuff like that all the time. I guess you can find where to do that. But he was like wanting to get into movies. So he did that all the time. And one of the movies that he got to be an extra on, and I think a scene was used in the movie. I don't remember what the movie was, but it was a movie with Tom Cruise. And so he was telling us about it. Like, he came back. It was like one weekend he went, and the scene that he was in got filmed like on a Saturday or whatever. And so he came back the next week and was telling us all about it. And he was talking about the one thing that I specifically remembered that stuck out so much. And I was like, that's so interesting, was that there was this like standoff scene in this movie between Tom Cruise and whoever. And he had like an apple crate that he stood on the whole, because he's so short, that he stood on the whole time so he wouldn't look shorter than the other person, so he would look taller. And the guy that I worked with was like, he goes, honestly, it was kind of hard to take him seriously on the moment because he's literally standing on an apple crate the whole time.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It just made me laugh.
How tall is he? I need to know. I'm going to look it up and see how tall he is. Short. He's 5'7".
Okay, I'm 5'7".
I'm sitting right next to me, and he whispers 5'6" from right over here.
According to Wikipedia, he's 5'7".
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense, though.
I love that. Those are fun.
You would never know that unless you were an extra in a Tom Cruise movie.
I also never thought of him as short, but I guess for a guy, 5'7" is on the shorter side.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't know.
Right. Like, it is whatever. But I've always thought of him as short, but I think it's because, well, also Nicole Kidman's quite tall. Like, I have this very, like, distinct, probably when I was really learning who Tom Cruise was, like, I would always see those pictures of him and Nicole Kidman together on, like, the red carpet, and it's like...
Yeah, she's so much taller.
Nicole Kidman in her heels, like, towering over.
He's 5'11".
She's 5'11". There you go. Plus her 3-inch heels.
And that's tall for a woman, for sure. Anyways, whatever. All of that being said, I agree. He's aging very well. Okay. So what about a favorite rom-com? Whatever that means.
Ooh. Yes. Okay. I just had a beach trip earlier this summer with some girlfriends, and it was so fun to catch up with them. And one of the movies that I was like, you guys have to watch, they had not seen it, and I was like appalled. While You Were Sleeping is like one of my favorite rom-coms ever. Yes. I've watched it so many times, and they had never seen it before. And I'm like, you have to watch it. Like, this is just a classic. It's just, you're laughing the whole time.
Yes.
So good.
That's such a good one. And honestly,
did they like it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they loved it. And they're like, let's watch it again. I was like, hey, there we go.
Yes. Let's.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, I love that movie.
Okay, so here's the question is, I know a lot of people who like religiously only watch While You Were Sleeping as a Christmas movie. Do you consider it a Christmas movie, or is it just like any?
Okay, so caveat with this, the several times I've seen it, I've not watched it over Christmas, but I can see why it would be considered a Christmas movie. So yes, I would say it is a Christmas movie because that's part of the plot, it's part of the situation and everything that's happening, but I've never watched it over Christmas.
I don't think I've ever watched it over Christmas either, but I just know some people are like, no, while you were sleeping, that's a Christmas movie. You can't watch it any other time of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's my husband and I watch it every year at Christmas.
There you go. Morgan watches it.
I think it's perfectly acceptable to watch other times of the year too. And so does he. And his whole family quotes that movie. Like if you ever go and visit, they will just like randomly break into while you're sleeping quotes. It's hilarious.
It's such a good movie.
Big fan.
I need to watch that again. It's been too long since I watched that movie.
Well, Christmas time's right around the corner.
It's true. I have a set amount of Christmas movies that I usually watch repeatedly every year. So I feel like I'll just watch it in the fall because it feels like a cozy fall movie too.
And then you watch it in the fall and then you want to add it to your Christmas rotation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. Well, I'm sure your friends were glad, Laura, that you introduced that to them because I feel like if you're a rom-com lover and like in not watching that movie feels like a little bit of a crime, to be honest. You know?
Yeah, I agree. So tell us all about where we can find you, all your social pages, and the release of your book.
Yeah, so Expired Vows releases actually from when this is being filmed, 5 days, so September 12th. So it's so soon, which is so exciting. And I'm most active on Instagram at Conaway_Laura. But I also send out a monthly newsletter with exclusive sneak peeks and giveaways. So you can sign up for that on my website, which is just lauraconawayauthor.com. And I just love connecting with readers, love chatting about books, about life, sharing encouragement and the hope of Jesus. So you can check me out on my website or on Instagram, and I'd love to keep talking.
Yay!
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Yes. And good writing. It was amazing. Good story.
Can't wait.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
Follow us on Instagram at Redeeming Lit Podcast and be sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify so you don't miss any episodes.
If you have any questions or book recommendations, email us at redeeminglitpodcast@gmail.com.
Until next time.
Keep it lit.